dream. And it's the first time the Evergreens acknowledge it, and I guess it's appropriate I was the one who received the acknowledgement. Right, Greg?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. You get the acknowledgement for that.
Right. Okay. So we've got here...
Thank you so much, each and every one of you. Thank you so very, very much.
Are you staying or leaving?
I'm hanging up so I can listen on my speaker that works
again. And in case you die, you have said your thank you. You just, you know.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah.
And I'll be back. We'll always be.
You'll always be back.
You always say that, Bob. I will always be here.
Right. Okay, mute all. Here we go.
All participants are now muted.
This situation. There might be a little Mike Myers scenario first.
There was, oh, yeah, the other big story from the last reading in March 28, 1989 was the historic point of both the dream I had with Dr. Beter saying something would happen in June.
Yes.
And the Evergreens will not comment on whether it was extraterrestrial in effect or not. Did that event happen in June?
It happened. The screws are very, very tight.
Is it anything connected to what happened in Russia? There was an article a few months ago about it burned a field near Moscow and claims, it was in one of the National Enquirer kind of papers, claims they got a few... ET bodies, extraterrestrial bodies, is that the incident?
Very closely allied to it. Very closely allied. But bodies? No, not bodies. Breathing.
They have some live?
Oh, yes.
Now, when, can you give us some details when and where this happened?
You're in a position to publicize. We're looking at the parameters of this. At the point February, March 19, look for newspaper articles concerning the possibility of contact outside of ourselves. Look for that.
But where did this happen?
Mongolia.
So what government is involved with it?
So far?
Yeah.
Soviet Union, Great Britain, United States, France, Germany, Italy. Several others. Who knows the completeness of it? The Soviet Union know the entire story?
What day did this happen?
June 2nd.
June 2nd. Was there an accident?
Not an accident at all. This is planned.
So this is what the Evergreens talk about, the big event, the ambassadors coming from Booty? Remember the Booty scenario?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. This, term it this way. Term it test probe.
On whose part?
Their part.
Now, I remember listening to Booty's reading before, years ago, and they were going to leave an object on a satellite at the right time. I had the impression it would be the end of the 1990s. Is this the first action before leaving the object?
This is test probe. Turn it that way. Testing this of the water. Testing of the system.
Has the schedule been speeded up?
No. You watch.
So what's reported in the National Enquirer level is not what happened.
Not exactly. Now, Not exactly. That was third hand. And even then, not correct in its totality. No, there are not bodies. We assure you, not bodies.
But what was the burnt patch? I think it was near Moscow.
That is... there are several burn patches. There are several wheels that have been inscribed in the ground itself. This was just another of them. Term that also a peripheral of this, but not this itself.
Right, and those were patches made by objects?
By objects,
burns.
Yes. Burns.
I see, so... And there was one, I think Michael mentioned a few months ago in England, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So those are they're part of the plan of probing? They were intentional?
Probing, yes, they're intentional.
So this will be covered up for a year or so?
And it'll be covered up. The point is, when you start seeing in various papers, you'd think it'll be announced triumphantly, but the belief is, among many, that this is too great a shock, too great a turn of events.
Would it be?
Oh, it would be, yes.
For the majority of humanity?
For the majority? It would see that... would they welcome another enemy? No. You watch. Gradually, across the next year, more stories about the possibility of contact, more stories about mysterious sightings, more stories about... this time, somewhat of a difference. The official line for many years has been dismiss it. Now it stares them in the face. You see that the reaction will be that that do we welcome them as strangers or do we welcome them as friends to be? That will be the official line. Or more to introduce a philosophy of approach.
Does Carl Sagan know about this contact?
No.
Does any public figure know?
Certain public figures know, but not in that particular public which Sagan is in. No.
Does Gorbachev know?
Yes.
How did they react to this? How did Gorbachev react to meeting? They meet this being?
No. There's not been that meeting face to face. There is still that proof would exist. There's still the proof that, as Gorbachev put this himself, it begins to show that we can be remarkably petty in our approaches to mankind. Remarkably petty. If this exists, and there is that evidence that proves it does, then is there so much more than what we have been doing. In actuality, with other words, he says that we're wasting our time arguing.
You mean about all the ideological things?
Ideological things. All of these things that people choose to argue. He says that they're a waste of time if you look at it from another perspective.
So will he let the Berlin Wall go down this year?
Yes.
Has what we've been seeing with the East Germans all being orchestrated to get the public prepared?
No, that is another fact that is can be used and will be used. That is another subject. The head of the East German Democratic Republic dies in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Honecker?
Yes.
Yeah.
He will be replaced by an individual who gives an immediate appeal to the populace. Do not leave, at least for 1 week, until we can make certain changes after the funeral. Let us bury him. Then let us do other things. Give us 1 week. And if at the end of that 1 week you still wish to leave, then you leave. And in that week you will see the burial of the previous head. His nickname is Heine, which means stupid, which is not the best way we would suggest to have an epitaph. And the wall go down. And one writer said that it would be interesting if it would be Gorbachev on the top of the wall swinging a sledgehammer. And since he is excellent at public relations, they would not put it past him to do it. But what we do see is the wall go down totally. And not the reunification of the two Germanies, but an immediate economic pact. The taxational structure of the two Germanies will amalgamate across the next 5 years. And that a person in East Germany will be taxed the same as a person in West Germany. And that there will be amalgamation of manufacturing situations, foods and the like.
So I hit the empty part at the end of the 45 minutes, and we just wait till it picks up, or I move it forward and try to find it. It's the blank before we go to the second side of the cassette that this was originally.
Because United Europe can't say anything.
So we wait a few seconds. Still waiting.
What would be extremely interesting is that the Soviet Union, which has for the past 40 years fought against the reunification of Germany, will not say anything against the reunification of the two states. What worries the countries, England, France, particularly, is that if the Germanies united form a non-aggression pact with the Soviet Union, then where goes the United Europe concept? Because United Europe concept is also United Defense. And if there is a non-aggression pact between the Germanies and the Soviet Union, then where is NATO? Where is et cetera, et cetera? But the beauty of it is that when the wall go down, Gorbachev will immediately, at the same time, reduce the number of troops in East Germany to below the level of troops in West Germany, and will invite President Bush to do the same. Everyone comes out ahead. Now, following that, will be the East German incentive to come and live here. Interesting.
Will Frank Zappa be asked to play at those events around the wall, since he did talk about it on TV a year or so ago?
Well, he will make a point. If he's playing Harry, he will make it in time.
If he what?
If he's playing Harry, he will make it in time.
His plane?
Airplane.
Mm, yes. Because we assure you, events move very fast.
Oh, he will try to be part of it.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Is he doing it out of his own ego, or what's the motive for him to be part of that?
The motive is that as he says, music, the sound of music goes across the wall, so why have the wall in the first place? He sees it, as many do, as a useless adornment.
So will he reorganize his band?
Yes, we see that. But what happened in 90 is that there will be a monument built by West Germans and East Germans, and it will be called the Martyrs' Monument. Because there will be no wall to put flowers against, it will need to be the Martyrs' Monument. Both sides will build it.
And when does the wall come down? Before Christmas?
Oh, it comes down before Christmas this year, yes.
And will Honecker be murdered?
No, he dies of natural causes. But let us phrase it this way. Heroic efforts to save his life will not be attempted. And he has lost the desire to live. The door is opened, and it is estimated that 60 to 80,000 people will leave the country. But in actuality, 110 will leave the country across the next while, to the point where the successors will say, give us a week before you decide. Let us get the funeral over. Then, if you do not like our proposals, then leave. But then that is when the wall go down.
Is this being sped up because of the contact with the extraterrestrial?
No. This is a matter, of course. There is one thing that you've not asked about, and that is the United States participation.
Yeah.
The Defense Department of the United States, especially the political division, works upon certain computer models that say, once again, scenarios. What happens if there is a radical change in a country? What happens to that aspect called polarization? Of course, some will, some won't, some don't care. When you have a very small don't care situation, such as East Germany, you have some will, some won't. Those who won't, will they polarize with those who will? The USSR itself, at this present time, is being managed too, because Gorbachev knows of these algorithms, which have been shared to his staff by the United States, that if a certain thing is carried on at a certain pace, you can expect this and expect that. But if you rush it, then you get this. If you keep it too long, you get that. The sociological movement of change models designed by the United States are being used by the Soviet Union. That is why you will find that, yes, there will be considerable unrest, but in the satellites, that it is managed unrest. If it went too fast, you would find that there would be rioting. If you go too slow, there is rioting. But if it's done at the right pace, you'll find that it acts as a safety valve across a number of months so that change can be then instituted. Oftentimes the analog says that it must have a pivotal point upon which the populace can focus so that they will then accept change. That is another analog, another algorithm. Honecker Day is the pivotal point as far as the East German Democratic Republic is concerned.
You just touched on it. Did you want to say some more?
Please.
Do you know my business partner, Nelson Thal? Can you tune in on him? Or do we need to locate him? Thal, T-H-A-L-L.
Thal, yes, Thal.
You had him?
Yes.
I was involved with the gold negotiations with him.
Yes.
He called me the station last week and said he had just been on the phone on September 5th with Shevardnadze and Soviet scientist Joseph Gulbin and either Yeltsin or one of those people. He claims he's being invited to a conference this week in New York on the global workshop. Is this true, what he told me?
Yes.
You've just given me the thing. He has talked to Shevardnadze. All right.
Yes, true. Not to him directly, but through others to Shevardnadze, yes.
Yeah, his representatives are AIDS?
Again, please?
His AIDS?
AIDS,
his
yes.
Representatives?
His representatives, yes.
Yeah, and that's because Gorbachev is very interested in our McLuhan project.
You'll be surprised. There is a worldwide examination of McLuhan.
Right now?
Yes.
Because we've gone beyond the old Cold War scenario.
Exactly.
And it seems that and then you talked about the analogs of sociological change. That
yes.
is what they are asking Nelson and I about.
Exactly.
Is that why you told me this stuff?
Yes.
This is great. How can I get Nelson to be interested in what you told me, or do I not need to implicate the evergreen?
Tell him what you know.
Just say what I know.
Tell him what you know.
And the sociological analogs, were they first discovered or invented by the U.S. Defense Department?
Oh, they were, yes.
And Gorbachev bought it from them, traded or surveilled it?
First stole.
All right, so they're using what the U.S. Defense Department already knows.
Yes, they first stole. Then Bush offered. Gorbachev said, he said, he uses a very interesting patronymic with the president. He calls him Mr. President, which is the accepted term, but he also calls him Georgiev, son of George, which of course he's not. But it is also used as a term of surprising close friends, a friendship between two individuals. When Bush offered, Bush knew that Gorbachev had. Gorbachev knew that he had the older versions and would get the updated versions. So therefore, he said to President Bush, I have the older versions. I would be very pleased to have the newer versions, which put everyone safe face. They're very interesting algorithms because they are, in many ways, they use McLuhan's research. And some of that research that is being done by the younger McLuhan.
Eric?
Yes. On his patterns, they're very close to the Defense Department of Baltimore's work.
The Tetras?
Yes.
When did they start using Eric's?
No, they arrived at the same conclusion.
In the 80s, 70s?
In 86, 87.
And then the book came out in 88?
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Late 87, early 88, I can't remember.
But the point is that the Defense Department worked their algorithms, and they're very close to Eric's algorithms, and Eric's algorithms are very close to theirs. The Soviets were working on exactly the same thing, but they could not put in certain factors because they did not realize that certain factors could exist in their own country. when they, because there has been that radical change in the past 18 months, they began to realize that the Department of Defense algorithms were more apt for their own country than they originally realized. Which means that there will be an Estonian flag, everyone will be waving, the Latvian flag, everyone will be waving, the Baltic states will be all waving their own flags. At the same time, each one will sign non-aggression treaty trade agreements with the Soviet Union, mutual defense, mutual everything. Everyone come out and in truth, smelling of roses.
Are these algorithms algebraic?
They're algebraic and they're sociocratic.
They use human movement as terms.
As terms, yes.
Yeah, it's not just let X equal Y stuff.
No.
They're using the tetras. They're saying certain things will be retrieved, certain things will be obsolete, certain things flip, and not and extend.
Exactly.
So when did they... So they discovered this in the 86, 87, the Defense Department.
They had, of course, other algorithms before.
So they didn't know McLuhan was doing this.
No.
Then they find out the book is released, and they say, well, he knew what we've been trying to find out.
And many of them said he phrased it better.
And is there a concerted effort to popularize McLuhan now because of this?
In actuality, McLuhan was surprisingly suppressed.
In the 70s?
In the 70s, because McLuhan was seen as an advertising man. It applied to commercial, not with systems per se. It was only those who understood systemologies and systems, they understood McLuhan. But what is happening is the reissuance of McLuhan, and what makes it so interesting is that McLuhan's book, The Mechanical Bride, Book on Medias, all of these are going to be fully translated in the Soviet Union, and will be required reading for those in management systems. Now, which means, and this is for your ears only, is that Erich McLuhan will be invited to go to the Soviet Union to give certain lectures on tetrad, on the systemology of change within organizations, and macroism and microism, etc. And he would not fully understand that it is because of a technician in the defense installation in Baltimore who was a McLuhan fan since the 70s, had the book, the new book, and hoped that the McLuhan tradition would travel on through the family.
He had the new book, you mean, when it came out?
When it came out.
And then he realized this person had, Eric... had done what he discovered.
Yes.
And that he will get the Soviet government interested in Eric?
Now the Soviet Union is very interested in Marshall McLuhan.
But what did you say Eric would not realize?
He would not realize the chain of how it's happened because it will never be revealed to him. But,
well, should I reveal it to him? I know Eric.
If you want to.
Or is it wise? Will it confuse him?
Not confuse him, no. But he will be in the Soviet Union teaching this. Predominantly keep certain things to your ears. Eric does not need to know.
Yeah, when will he be in the Soviet Union?
Within 24 months.
Within 2 years. Now, what about the film project Nelson and I are involved with? The TV project with the daughter of Marshall, Mary McLuhan. Is that something I should focus my energies on?
Yes, it is, yes.
Probability of happening in
at this present time, less than 30%.
Doesn't seem to happen.
No.
So
the major thing, as you know, is financing, and you've not got that portion of it settled yet.
No.
So that lower the probabilities considerably.
Well, yeah, we can get the financing.
Now, that is another factor.
Mary McLuhan's working on that.
Yes.
The Evergreens, I like that. How does this... This is very good information in relation to the work I've been doing in Nelson. What do we do in relation to this stuff?
Yeah.
What did Nelsonite do? Will Nelson send a video or some message to the conference this week? Is he preparing
No, we see talking, drawing, planning, showing. We see this no videotape. What we do see is the project limps off the ground.
Which project?
This project that you have with
Mary.
That limp off the ground. But in the meantime, there are other things that happen that, and to a degree, push it in another direction. More associated with the scope of what you are going to do broadens. And so therefore it's useful that you have not done it. Because if you had done it, you would have said to yourself, knowing all the circumstances across the next 6-10 months, you would say, we left out more than we should have.
What should be included?
Events, microcosm, events, macroism.
We would not have done that.
No.
So now they can put in the Russian experience.
Well, they can put in so much more. What does it mean when an entire systemology breaks down to where it should have been? You see? Devolves.
Well, if Gorbachev and
approximately 2 minutes.
This becomes very personal for me because if Gorbachev is interested in the people in Russian management, what are Nelson and I going to have lots of opportunities to do things then over the next while?
Oh, yes, indeed so.
So
will I meet Gorbachev?
When you do, you realize he's shorter than you think he is. He is fatter than his wife Razor would like him to be. But you'll see there's one thing about him. An interesting vitality. Almost sexual, but not. He broadcasts one thing very strongly, and that is, I am listening.
I am what?
I am listening.
And you're not.
Listening to who he's talking to, you mean?
Oh, yes, he focuses his attention very strongly on you.
Well, that's what my skill is.
That's what my skill is.
Truly, if we will find something in common.
Yeah.
But it is a matter of when, not if. It is a matter of when. But that is not in the immediate future.
No.
Those things that you heard about Gorbachev being in problem, there's something that must be said before the session ends. That is Yeltsin. Yeltsin and Gorbachev are very good friends. They argue, they diminish, but if you look carefully, they do not diminish. Gorbachev knows more than Yeltsin, but Yeltsin is very, very popular. You watch certain appointments across the next while so that Yeltsin would not rush in where he should not do. And so this present situation, Bush cannot meet with Yeltsin, though he will do so privately as a means of communication to Gorbachev, which will keep additional lines open. But there are several very secure lines now. But publicly it will not be mentioned, because officially President Gorbachev has not been welcomed. When that happened, you see so many changes in this world, you say to yourself, I'm so glad I chose this life.
Mm-hmm. Just to wrap up, since you have to stop, Yeltsin was the man who Gorbachev tipped the glass after that sort of big sweep in the Russian Moscow elections.
Yes.
You mentioned they tipped, they agreed to pretend they were divided and pushed it.
They pushed it.
That was agreed.
Yes, you get the left, I'll get the right. Between the two of us, we'll have it all.
And, Carolyn, you said...
Why hasn't Gorbachev visited Canada yet?
Because it was necessary for Mulrooney to visit Bush first. Protocol. So therefore, that in protocol, Bush meets Mulrooney. Bush meets Gorbachev. Gorbachev meets Mulrooney.
Yeah, Gorbachev has not been in Canada yet.
Publicly, no. Not since a number of years. So therefore, but not as president of the USSR. That convention, still convention.
Right, and you did say, what was that point that Gorbachev will meet, he's already met Bush, I missed the point in fact there, that would be so amazing. What was the meeting that would be? It would make us be glad we were born?
So many things happening.
So many things happening.
Once they get together?
Yeah, who were the two people who would get together? Yeltsin and...
Yeltsin and Bush meet. But the great thing is when President Gorbachev, not General Secretary Gorbachev, but President Gorbachev, visits the United States as a presidential level meeting, it will not be a short time. It will be very intense, very, very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a final comment?
Yes, Dan.
Okay, thank you. Dear Lord, please enfold these entities in thy love and thy perfection. Amen. Please clear any negative influences from these entities now.
Dan.
Allow the body to become completely relaxed. Perform any healing which may need to be performed. Begin increasing the blood pressure to normal naturally and begin returning all other systems of the body to normal naturally now.
Dan.
And thank you for our sessions and fare thee well.
We do thank you.
Thank you, Evergreen.
To you all, God's blessing.
Thank you. And now I would like Michael to awaken feeling completely refreshed, relaxed, and loved now.
Came out of that session. The hotline between the United States and the Soviet Union is literally a hotline. It's constant contact. Okay, for years that has existed. It was a good idea. The Americans have sent over the American Constitution. Then the Russians on the other side have, with their copy of the American Constitution, checked the transmission against this to see if it's accurate. The Russians send quotations from Lenin and Communist Manifesto, and the Americans on their side, with their copy of the manifesto, read it and check the error, if there's any errors on the line. So the line is 100% operational, 100% accurate all the time. Well, that's what they used to do. Now, they're sending through everything that the Russians want. On one of the hotlines, the hotline that exists between Gorbachev and Bush is better than the hotline that he has between, with the Bush has between Bush and the Congress. And the amount of material that is going between the Soviet Union and the United States is incredible. And it's all requests for people. The Soviet Union is requesting people. Can we have permission to interact with Professor David Jenkins of the University of Minnesota, whose specialty is burns control in flash fire victims, who's just written the book. The United States arranges it, because they want to do more on burns control. We have an exchange that we would like to make with people in aluminum smelting. Can we have an exchange? You know, and the United States is saying yes, 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 more than it's saying no, no, no. And if anybody looked at that, they would say, where in the hell is the disagreement between the two countries? But when you get down to it, there really isn't a disagreement between the two countries. What is happening more than anything is to both of them, and it's worse for the United States than it is for the Soviet Union, is that this the United States has an economy built around weapons manufacturing. Now, it's easy to say, well, let's stop building it, but what are you going to do with several hundred thousands out of work? What are you going to do? You're going to have to cut it down. Besides that, the United States makes a hell of a lot of money out of arms sales across the year. So they're both in a dilemma. It was the response to the Cold War situation. Everybody made guns. But it broke both the United States and, it broke the Soviet Union first. And everybody's cheering, hey, we won the Cold War. Not really, because right now you have a weapons manufacturing complex which you can't shut down like that, otherwise the economy goes down the tubes. And so that, so the arguments of the people arguing about that,
In the States,
and how can we change over? And what, you know, everybody is thinking of alternate plans right now. What in the hell can we build? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make tanks, but do we really need?
They need to have evergreen sessions.
The other one was seeing Marshall McLuhan's book. What was the big thick one that he wrote?
Understanding Media.
Understanding Media. It's turgid enough, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. when I say turgid, to translate beautifully into Russian. And the book is touted in the Soviet Union as the book that enabled the West to become the masters of media. You know, that would be the publicity of it. And these guys are going to be studying this the way they study Lenin. that's interesting. Oh, I mean, you receive it differently if it's typewritten than if you do it on a television screen. That's hot media. That's cold media. And they're all going to be experts in it, and they're going to go tromp it over to the United States and say, that's all. And the Americans are going to say, wait, hold on a second. That's 15 years ago. We got some war stuff.
Which is Eric
and others.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They send us Tetris, we send them Tetrad. We want to remember that. Tetris is a game, computer game.
I'll show you later.
The other thing is that the factor in that E.G. didn't get into, you know, it's one of those things underlying it, and that is that our knowledge base is doubling every 20 months. It used to be every 7 years, then everything. Now it's down to 20 months. And the Soviet Union is just utterly incapable of absorbing all that information so fast. They've got to almost say, stop, we don't need it. But they can't.
Yeah.
Too late. The genie's out of the bottle. That's it. Now, Gorbachev is going to make a really sincere plea to Bush personally. And he's going to say, look, my friend, yes, we could use the computers to build bombs, but I think you've got the knowledge now that we're getting a little out of that market. We need the computers to know who in the hell we are. We've got a hell of a lot of information storage. We don't have the computers. Can you send me an IBM? Because you put a great big huge blockade against computers. We don't have computers. And we need them. We need them to survive. And George is going to say, well, you're going to have to pay for it. And they say, well, you know, we'll do that. We just want the blockade dropped. Just drop it. And George will say, oh, we'll see what we can do. And it's gone.
Thank you.
Oh, the other thing was seeing the Berlin Wall come down.
That's going to be an amazing event if this happens at all.
Well, do you know what happens? Somebody says, let's put the rubble over his coffin. The guy who dies, what's his name?
Honecker.
Honecker the Heine.
They're going to really make him a duke or a
fellow
guy.
Well, they're going to say, you know, let's put on his coffin goes the rubble of the wall. And they're saying to the people, don't, look, make up your minds right now.
You know, you
got problems. We're going to have a new world here in 2 months, so...
Everything changes.
Yeah.
You know, everything changes. You know, don't make up your minds too quickly. And the wall goes down, and the number of people that flood into East Germany, and the number of East Germans that flood into West Germany, but now knowing that they don't have to run to hide, they stay.
Did you say West Germans will flood into East Germany?
Absolutely.
Families, everybody,
reuniting families. The newspapers in, because that's what I saw, the January edition of Bild magazine.
Yeah.
On the cover, it has the word reunited. And there's pages after pages of families who have not seen each other, men standing over graves of relatives that they never saw because of this,
yeah,
and the sadness of it and the happiness of it. They do a complete spread of the whole thing. And it's really a collector's item. What else?
What about the extraterrestrial? You don't see that?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Absolute zip, zip, zip. I wish I could say yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Think so, but no. More, I'm seeing that Gorbachev, Reagan, Gorbachev, Bush, Thatcher, all of the others, looking at this and saying, we've crossed a watershed. Will Perestroika survive? Yeah. Will Glasnost continue? Yes. Two things are going to happen. I've got to tell you this from your point of view, and my point of view is that just they found the current issue of Saturday Night magazine talks about the
Eisenhower.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. These things have been brushed under the carpet, and there's several things like that that go across that don't get brushed under the carpet. Glasnost does not mean openness now. What glasnost really means is, can we discuss our past and not cast any blame? Can we just open up the past and say, well, okay, we agree that Stalin was a shit. Now what? Okay, everybody agrees that we don't want to go back to the Stalin years. That's glasnost. That's, and they say about these people were displaced and those people died and these people, yeah. Gee, I didn't know that. Well, you should know that. That's our history of our country. That's what glasnost is. Perestroika is rebuilding. Glasnost does not mean openness now. What glasnost really means is, can we discuss our past and not cast any blame? Can we just open up the past and say, well, okay, we agree that Stalin was a shit. Now what? Okay, everybody agrees that we don't want to go back to the Stalin years. That's glasnost. That's, and then they say about these people were displaced and those people died and these people, yeah, gee, I didn't know that. Well, you should know that. That's our history of our country. That's what glasnost is. Perestroika is rebuilding, and perestroika means now. Glasnost is past. And this whole concept of glasnost is fascinating, because things come out of the woodwork. Yeah, literally come out of the woodwork all over the world.
And what about the Kennedy assassination? We're going to have glasnost here.
The Kennedy assassination will be proved that it was engineered by the Teamster organization, that it had nothing to do with Cuba, nothing at all.
Nothing to do with the military?
There was a frazzle in the thing, but it was basically Hoffa's action.
So it was just the mafia level.
And the mafia is involved in it, the Teamsters are involved in it, and because the mafia and the Teamsters are still as tight as that, but it'll be announced that it was a Teamster mafia thing from the beginning. And
now here's an interesting thing, is that the Evergreens in 77 said the truth will come out in about 4 years. Now in 81,
yeah,
Blakey's book came out accusing the mafia.
Yeah.
So that's pretty accurate.
But what,
there.
Yeah, but what E.G. said was several people had to die before the information. And according to E.G., the last one died this year.
Oh, you found that out?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The last one died this year.
I didn't know
one of the mafia guys?
One of the mafia guys.
Prosecutes? Fitzsimmons, one of those Teamsters guys?
No, I think it was a Mafia guy.
All right.
A Mafia guy. Now...
Did they give you the name?
No, didn't give a name. This is the last one that I...
Anything more on the AIDS thing?
Oh, very quickly, the AIDS thing. A dance. It's just a dance from now on. You know, you can't prove it. Nobody's going to say it, but everybody's going to cover their ass like crazy and start splaying brain all over the place. But the announcement is interesting that the United States will announce that they have artificially constructed the... And that from that, they're saying that the reason they've done it is so that they can then find out how to end the AIDS thing. And they'll say that it was done between a combination of the U.S. Biological Warfare Department and United States Health Organization, or whatever they call it. The World Health Organization. But that's why they did it. To artificially produce it so they'll know how to solve it.
They won't admit that it was artificially produced way, way past.
By then.
Oop. No way. No way.
So do you think that when I do my thing, that will get a little coverage locally?
Well, it'll get coverage locally. Because if you say what EG says is the pattern, the progression of it, everybody will go, oh yeah, sure. Then when it comes about, they'll say, oh, that's a little interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you will cast no aspersions. You say, this is the way it's going to be going. You know. You won't say, you know, who created it, because you're just going to say, this is the progression. Interesting, isn't it? Here's an interesting fairy tale.
This is how the dance goes.
Here's how the dance goes.
Yeah.
Called the AIDS dance. And that's it.
Okay.
Okay, there you have it. An historic point. So that's the cause, now the effect, or vice versa. Let's see if anybody's here to comment on it. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Anybody want to say anything?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah,
not
I guess,
to what? Are you going to stand for my parade?
No. I guess I'm probably not a good one to comment on it because I've heard much of it before. But what is fascinating, it's almost as if the Evergreens are like a fly on the wall. They know all the little ins and outs, you know. And unless you've been living under a rock and not listening to ION, well, of course the United States and America communicates so well together, you know.
But you said United States and America. You mean United States and Russia?
Yeah, communicate so well together. You know, it would just always have to be that way. And the back channels between some guy in here and some guy over there, you know, they know each other's wives, and they you know, between them there's great friendship. Even though the bravado and the image in the media has to be kept as they're the enemy and we've got them under control, you know, that kind of thing. It's just great that the Evergreens can bring in such detail about it.
Yeah.
You know, and give us an idea of this is where it's going. So I think it's just fabulous that you got all that stuff and it's finally out there in the air, you know. There are
no secrets. September 12th. We're hearing the Evergreens announce in their newsletter in 88 that the Berlin Wall will go down in the next year. This is September 12th. This is 2 months before it actually happens. The world doesn't know it. They don't know what's going to happen. And we're sitting here talking to Michael and Ellie and celebrating it. And
exactly.
Then I was interviewed in October 88 in L.A. in Jared Fiala's backyard by Dave Porter, and I declared that there would be reunification of Germany and all this stuff, and they thought that I was ridiculous. That was a year before. You know, and I've been getting it with the Evergreens. So here it is, it's September 12th, 89. We're getting some of the details, and then 2 months later it happens, and when David Porter happens to hear the old interview, he's, holy shit, Bob predicted this a year ago. And then he played it like around November 25th, 89. This is, people might forget now how this was not what we were hearing This is Secret Council 10 stuff. We're the only people in the world who know what's going to happen. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, Bob. Greg had to take a business call. I do see what you're saying, but one thing I'm curious about is what actions did you take, or different actions did you take as a result of having this information? Any, none? What was the effect of you in your world?
I didn't care about the Berlin Wall because I already knew the McLuhan, and I knew it was a global theater. What I was concerned about or interested in was the AIDS thing. That's what I was trying to make happen.
So do you think you were a case of the what ION would say about they could give you information? Like ION would say to me in a session, well, we can tell you this, Jimmy, because you don't care.
Right.
So do you think the Evergreens was able to tell you because you really didn't care about the Berlin Wall and you had already surmised and decided what it was for you?
Yeah, I'd already been saying for years on the radio that, you know, the USSR and the United States were obsolete and they were bullshit images. And when everybody thought the American won the Cold War in 1989-1990, I was on there saying, nope, they didn't win either. And the first guy to really write that was Croker. He wrote Russian Ruins and the United States in Ruins. But you had for 10 years, until the dot-com bust in 2001, you had America gloating and having a new virtual economy with the Internet and all those big companies making billions and their IPOs. You had America thinking that it was going to win for the next 100 years.
Right.
So,
right.
But here's the thing, Ginny, here's the thing, is the UFO thing. What you just said to me, I wanted to answer with the UFO. What did you just say? What did the indifferent. Did you hear what you hear everyone say? I'm asking who did it or where did it happen, the UFO contact. And then there's a pause, and Evergreen say, now you're in a position to publish, and they're looking at me. They're looking at what I'm going to do with the information. And they saw that I was probably pretty detached about it. And that's why they carried on giving it to me. I mean, they're not giving me names of, you'll hear, I don't get the names of the five guys who killed Kennedy or organized it right away. And they say they're not going to ever give it to me, but I get it by 91. And I get more about the UFOs by 91. So this is the story right then. It's a dramatic turning point, but there's even more coming. And even the Evergreens don't know that they're going to say more.
Right, yeah. I think detachment in terms of evoking the information on your part, Bob, because you already had your hypothesis, as you said, fully in place. You were already making your statements about the global theater. You already had your chart formulated. It might not have been on paper, and you were working your actions. So they probably didn't have any problem giving you that information, and you could sit there and celebrate it because in your mind it was just a validation of what you'd already known. And kind of like, okay, you know, this is going to happen. So in a way, that's kind of cool, and that really is also in part what happened.
The following is a recording of a session given by the Evergreens.
Oh,
the Evergreens is the name we have given to the group of entities.
I don't know where that started. Something clicked it. Just a second. Must have hit a button. Okay, what were we saying, Ginny?
Are you watching your board, Bob?
Which one?
The web control panel. Got some people on mute.
Oh, what are they saying? They're screaming and yelling, Bob's an egomaniac, Bob's a fucking idiot. Well, Gene's going, whoa, what is dupes is LG?
No, your web control board where you got people on mute.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, I'm watching that. As people come in, I'm demuting them. Now there's someone here. Oh, hey, Carolyn, hold it. Hold it, Carolyn. Fuckface is here. Welcome aboard. Are you here to celebrate us?
Well, someone should.
Yeah.
Yahoo!
Unbelievable.
Who said unbelievable?
Gene.
Gina, did you miss the others?
What others?
Let's get to it,
Ion. Did you miss Ion?
Hi, Ion.
No.
Oh,
did you miss Ion, Gene? Gene, are you getting Ion for the first time?
Oh, my gosh, I am. It's Susanna.
The one
Yeah, Suzanne is getting the first one. And Gene, are you getting it for the